Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Jason, John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, as promised. The Shelby County Schools Superintendent, Dr. Jorce M. Ray, and I believe a member of his exploratory committee, Renice Morris, joins us as well. Appreciate you guys' time. Dr. Ray, how are you? Dr. Ray, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hey, there you are.
Down. Going in and out. I can hear you now.
Okay, we got you. It's going in a little bit in and out. Let's start here. You've put together an exploratory committee that, among other things, is considering its current participation in the TSSAA and whether, you know, that's smart going forward. How prepared, I guess, is the first question. Is SES to discontinue its participation in the TSSAA?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us on. We're very prepared. You know, we've dealt with TSSAA for a number of years, and you know, lawsuits and different other battles as concerns our students, athletes. But you know, all we want is equitable rulings and fair treatment. We want them to look at their bylaws and governance structure. Rotate the tournament. That's big. You know, we travel to Middle Tennessee every year. Why can't we rotate from, you know, east, middle, then west? Also, we want to lift the inequitable 12-month wait period for students transferring from private to public schools. Mm-hmm. There's no wait period from public to private schools. So, you know, we want to have a great working relationship. The exploratory committee is there just to help us sort through some of these things. But at the end of the day, we just want fair and equal treatment. And we have the exploratory committee that's going to help us think through next steps.
So I guess what do those next steps look like if you don't sort of get a satisfactory response from the TSSAA? And listen, Jason and I certainly, as media members who covered, you know, local sports here, we are totally familiar with the TSSAA and sort of how they treat Memphis. So we certainly understand the logic here. But what do those next steps look like if, in the event, you know, you don't have positive or productive conversations or solutions with the TSSAA?
Well, you know, next steps look like the committee will sit down and we really understand the TSSAA. We'll look at avenues to really highlight our children. At the end of the day, it's about student athletes and just giving them every way to participate in sports at a very, very high level. So that committee will look at all of our options, and then we'll make a decision from there. I don't want to be premature. I want to give TSSAA every opportunity to sit and talk, and maybe there's a rationale for some of these things that I don't know. I'm a very, very patient guy, and you know, I want to do my due diligence just to listen and fully understand everything. But at the end of the day, it's my job to look out for our students here. period.
You mentioned, I mean, certainly patience is understandable. Is a Shelby County Secondary School Athletic Association something that's possible? I mean, is that something that, you know, is, if push comes to shove, you think is feasible and could work?
You know, I think all things are possible. I mean, I'm unsure how other schools within the state feel about TWSWA. I know I talked to several superintendents. They feel the way I feel about TWSWA. You know, you're looking at maybe all Shelby County, maybe a tri-state area. I don't know. I want our kids to get the national exposure they deserve. So I put together a committee. All things are on the table. You know, we haven't decided anything. We just want to hear from TWSWA, and we just want fair and equitable treatment. That's all we're asking.
Had you, Dr. Ray, I'm curious, I saw yesterday where reportedly Bernard Childress, who I've had my own dealings with here, having covered preps for a few years back in the day, apparently, you know, had no comment on the letter. He's probably, you know, weighing everything, obviously, too. I can understand that. But had you spoken to him beforehand? Had y'all had any previous talks about the inequities that you point out or even the possibility of pulling out? Had you talked to him at all?
You know, initially we've talked over the years. I've had several conversations with Mr. Childress about different things going on here. But at this point, TWSWA didn't consult Shelby County Schools when they changed the date on when we were supposed to start sports. They need to look across the entire state. If they would have looked at what was going on in West Tennessee, they would have, you know, thought to think through about how the implementing sports and starting sports within Tennessee should look. So we didn't have a conversation recently, but we've had conversations over the last few years. And at the end of the day, you know, as the superintendent, it's about doing what's best for my children here. And I just look at, you know, a mother coming to me and, you know, upset that leaving a private school for reasons that she shouldn't have to divulge, but she did, and you know, talking about how the treat she received from TWSWA after she proved that it was a financial hardship and some other things and just the ruling without giving her any benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. It was very disheartening, you know, for me, and that was a straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. We're talking to Dr. Joris M. Ray, superintendent of Memphis and Shelby County Schools. When you sort of evaluate the issues, you mentioned, you know, events that maybe aren't rotating back to Memphis. My partner here is a Spring Fling veteran, and it's been quite some time since he's covered that event here in Memphis. When you sort of write down your list of gripes, what are your biggest ones? Well, you know, you talk about the inequities, but like specifically, you know, what are your biggest sort of issues with the TWSWA?
Well, I think I said it in the big four, the rulings and the fair treatment of students. Here again, you have a student leaving private school, coming to public. They had to sit out 1 year. But if a student leaving public, going to...
is eligible right away.
Private school, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They can play instantly.
Yep.
You know, that's a big problem. It's the governing structure. Here you have Shelby County Schools, which makes up over 90 schools, middle and high schools, over 90. We have one representative from my area. You know, you look at, you know, again, the tournament. Spring Fling is one. Basketball, football, they all played in Middle Tennessee. And I'm hearing now all of us saying, no, we're going to have bids. You can bid for it or what have you. But that should be on some rotating basis. And at the end of the day, you know, with everything going on with COVID-19, my job as superintendent to keep the students safe and healthy. If they can't put together a plan for safety and you know, I look at what happened in some of the private schools and some of the schools that started football and the number of COVID cases that's happening. I just think it's very disingenuous to leave it up to the schools and not to show fair and equitable treatment across the board.
Dr. Ray, I know you're monitoring the case numbers daily. Right now, as I understand it, the plan for at least for football and looking at that restart plan is to make that decision around Labor Day or after. Are the case numbers, are they in a place or approaching a place right now where you think, you know, football can happen for SCS by week five?
Well, let me say this. We're monitoring the data daily. Yesterday, we had over 239 cases. That's been the highest in the last 10 days. You know, we were in the 300, 400s a couple of weeks ago. But we're still in triple digits, right? The infected rate. You look at, if you do 239, you know, times that, times, you know, seven, you know, we're on the average to have over 1,500 to 2,000 new cases this week. So that's alarming. And we have a holiday that's coming up, and we're still in our first wave. We're gonna do what's best for our children. I listen to our coaches. I listen to students. At the end of the day, I want to play. I want our students to play too, but I want them to play when it's safe.
Dr. Ray, you mentioned the case count from yesterday. The 14-day average of new cases in Memphis as of Tuesday was 153. The positivity rate is significantly down from July. I believe positivity rate has hovered around 10%. Now, that's still high, and I appreciate sort of you taking the safety measures, but I think the trend line suggests that it is on the way down in the area. Not exactly where we need to be today, but on the way down. So I guess my question to you would be, does Shelby County Schools have a threshold, a positivity rate number, for when it is safe to return, given that the trends are down? Is it 5%? Is it 2%? What are the sort of criteria that you are taking into consideration for deciding when it's safe to play and when it's safe to come back to school?
Well, let me say this. When the curve flattens and we see 14 days consistent, numbers are low, and I'm talking about in the teams, when we get guidance from the health department to say, hey, we say that it's safe to play sports, because right now the health department, mm-hmm. from the last conversation we've had, they discourage it. Mm-hmm. But they say, if you're going to do it, this is how you can do it. When I see the NFL produce a model that's safe to play, all those things are, you know, we take into consideration. If you see the length of the National Basketball Association, what they have to do to keep their players safe, we don't have the resources to even begin to do that.
Right.
You know, and at the end of the day, it's about a model of safety and how to keep the students safe. If we got to wear masks and we got to stay 6 feet apart, and that's what we're told to do, you know, how you going to do that playing contact sports? And, you know, and here I am. I'm trying to figure out every way to put my kids on the field. I want them to play. They want to play. I enjoy sports, right? I want the fierce competition. I love it. You know, but to me, the health and safety of my children, that takes precedence over any sports and kids getting out and possibly putting them in harm's way.
You mentioned in your letter yesterday how you've been inundated almost with parents' complaints about the TSSAA, the inequities. I just wonder, Dr. Ray, are you hearing too? Is it the same number? Because there's the other side of that too. I wonder how many parents are you inundated too that are coming at you saying, "Hey, the rest of the state's playing. My child, we're socially, you know, we're disadvantaged. This is a scholarship opportunity for my child that he or she may be missing out on." Are you hearing from those parents too? And sort of, what have you told them? Because
You're exactly right. I hear from all parents, but I hear more parents out of support to say, we understand, and I'd rather the safety of my children.
The abundance of safety.
Or my child, outweighs them playing sports. But we're going to give every kid opportunities to participate in combines so that we can get video. We can get all of that for college recruiters. Again, we haven't ruled anything out. We're following science. We haven't made a decision. We said we're going to talk about it after Labor Day. And at the end of the day, parents like Ms. Morris that's on the line, that's what I hear from about TSSAA. They want to talk about the inequities. And when I hear a mother's cry of how her son was treated, it just tore me apart.
Got to ask you, because Monday is a big day for Shelby County Schools. Me and my partner are both products of Shelby County Schools, White Station High School, in the building. You're starting virtual learning on Monday, and obviously there are no easy decisions. Every decision is going to come with its own unique set of challenges, no matter what you decide. My wife is a teacher in the Collierville School District. They have kids in class. They have their own sets of challenges. So whatever route you go, it's going to be, like I said, challenging. How confident are you that your people and everybody in the Shelby County School District is prepared to pull this off and do it relatively efficiently?
Well, I believe in my teachers, and I believe in the students of Shelby County Schools. We just passed a one-to-one device for every student in Shelby County. We have 95,000 new devices, pre-K through 12. The first true one-to-one that's ever been implemented possibly in the country as far as the speed and as far as not doing it by grade bands. With COVID-19 pulled off of everybody and showed that we were unprepared as far as, being a one-to-one school district. This is something I talked about February 2019. We didn't have the dollars to get it done. So now we have the devices. We're passing the devices out. Our teachers are being trained. Parents are being trained. Students are excited. And school starts Monday. And I expect quality instruction day one. And I'm so honored to have this opportunity to lead the very school district where I once was a young lad, so to speak. So this is a grand moment for us, grand moment for our students. And I know my teachers, they're going to rise to the occasion and they're going to deliver high quality instruction. But at the end of the day, my job is to keep everyone safe and to ensure a quality education for all students. And we're going to do that.
How often, Dr. Ray, do you reevaluate? Okay, is it 2 weeks? Is it 4 weeks? 6 weeks? I mean, how often do you reevaluate? Okay, can we bring our students back in? Is that a daily reevaluation?
We meet daily. We look at the numbers daily. We sit down as a team daily because nothing replaces in person instruction. I want the kids back in school. But if you look at what's going on around us, look at what's happening in DeSoto County right now. They have maybe 10 or 15 cases, over 100 students and staff quarantined.
Right.
We want to do it in a way where it's safe. Look at Harden Academy. They play football or try to play or what have you. They have 12-plus. Students and staff. I can't remember the number, but it was to the point where they had to go all virtual and they had to cease sports. So we want to do it in a way where it's safe. We want to do it in a way where our kids are protected, and we want to do it in a way to keep everybody safe and healthy.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that. We've been doing that, and we're going to continue.
Absolutely.
To prioritize safety.
Dr. Ray, we appreciate the time, as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Yes, thank you.
He is Shelby County School Superintendent Dr. Joris M. Ray. Appreciate him coming on the show today. Interesting stuff from him. And I tell you what, I don't envy him, because it's just like any other leader of a school district, of a university, whatever the case may be. There really is no right answer. I guess there are more right answers in some cases than others. But, you know, for example, like I saw there's this picture that's going viral from Georgia. It's this kindergartner who is having to learn virtually, and he's frustrated to the point of tears. Like he can't pick it up. And you know, that's going to be the case across the country. But again, that's the sort of compromise for, you know, the risk of COVID. He mentioned,
he did not sound optimistic about them starting football.
No, he did not.
In terms of where he wants the numbers and where they are now.
Did I hear teens?
I'm pretty sure we heard teens.
Yeah.
But the cases have got to be in the teens. If you're a Shelby County, you know, football player, anything, that's got to be something that, you know, if that's where it's got to be for him. Well, I mean, the possibility of you not having a season has got to start coming.
Well, that's why you've seen some, some coaches in the Shelby County.
It seems to be quite a few.
Well, there have been some Shelby County head coaches who have left their jobs to take assistant jobs in different school districts because they're worried they're not going to play. And so it's definitely it's a new world out there. And I will say this: he mentioned the NFL as a the NFL has had no positive cases. 58,000 tests since August 12th, and 77 of them came back positive. They were all false positives. So zero cases. I think they had six staff. So six total. Six real COVID cases. No players have come down with COVID-19, which gives me great hope for the NFL. But I would also say that the NFL is not high school sports.
You can't be like them in terms of what you can throw at them.
Yeah, I mean, they're professional players. They're going to have a level of discipline that high school players just are not. It's just an NFL player can isolate. He's got a 12,000 square foot home. He goes to work. He goes home. He's Gucci. He ain't ever got to leave the house. He's got people cooking for him. You know what I'm saying? He's got people delivering everything. He ain't got to make no damn store runs. He ain't got to see nobody else except his teammates and his coaching staff and the other team every single week. That's it. His family. It's just not realistic for any average person here in the city of Memphis. And I am glad to hear that they are meeting daily. I think the numbers warrant daily meetings. They are clearly down. Now, let's see what happens after everybody's back in school. Well, I guess not everybody's back in school. Some are, some aren't.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be virtual for a while, it sounds like.
But he mentioned, so here's the...
Starts on Monday for Shelby County Schools.
Here's the tricky thing. So he mentioned specifically the 289 new cases yesterday. That came against 2,899 tests. So it's a 10% positivity rate, which is, again, much lower than where it was two months ago.
You need that lower.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not using that as an example to say, hey, let's get our kids back in school. But I do think context is very important when we're talking about just raw case numbers. 289 positives against 755 tests is disturbing.
I think eventually we got to what he wanted to see, which was cases in the teens. You know, those being announced. No, is that not what
he was? No, we never got quite that low.
I mean, where do we get to teens in terms of that's what he wanted to see? Was that not the football conversation?
I don't know, brother. I don't know. I mean, teens, that's like the beginning of the – that's March. We got to, I would say, like there was like May and June for a couple of weeks there. We were probably in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and we'd have like 100 every other day. Huh. But we never got into teens once this thing took off. I mean, that would really suggest that it's pretty much over. It's burning out. Now, again, I'm hopeful that we can get back down to May levels, 30, 40. 50 a day. I mean, we had 89 today. So, again, very much trending down. But if you're a high school football coach in the city of Memphis.
That's where I come away on it from.
I don't think you were holding out hope
that you'd be playing by week five. It doesn't sound like we're near where he wants to be before he thinks it's safe enough to go back out. I get you're not in school. You're starting virtual. Like we've said that from the get-go, and in some instances, you know, even with the rest of the state going on, you don't feel like the numbers right now are low enough to play. But if you're essentially waiting on it to be completely stamped out,
right,
you're going to be waiting past the football season. So I just want to, if that's where we're all at, that's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
you know, those guys aren't going to be out there.
Right, right. And you know, again, we'll see who's right, right? I mean, we'll see if there's a way to do this safely. That will be apparent, you know, whether it's SEC, ACC. But again, and it all comes back to this, they have capabilities testing-wise that simply we do not as high schools and high school athletes. It's just the truth. But anyway, it's a hell of a dilemma, isn't it? By the way, what do you make of their it sounds like he just wants to have a productive conversation with TSSAA. I mean,
well, it is. There's them
exactly start, they really want to leave it.
There's half the state going off and playing football, and that gets you started. But it sort of comes back to some of the, you know, I guess the things that Memphis has sort of been mad at the TSSAA for a while now. That some of this, you know, in specific cases of eligibility or not getting the openness, the transparency that you want. That's been, I mean, you could go all the way back to you know, Scalabissier on that.
Yep.
You know, go back to more so Jarnell Stokes.
Yep.
Was
Stokes.
One of those where it wasn't one, like, you know, he got the, yep, felt like he was getting a raw deal. He's moving back into where he actually
Boyce,
lived over,
right,
at Southwind. Boyce was a case.
He was from Houston, right?
You know, with, yes. The one with Wiseman, though, that we point to, I mean, in that case, I have a tougher time with that one because it's been admitted to that Penny, you know, you paid the movie. That,
yeah,
that's a no-no in TSSAA.
Yeah.
They got, and that's what they're trying to stick him on in the NCAA level, which is a whole other question. But the Boyce one more so, I think, no doubt about it. I mean, yeah, you know, we always said you take the safety, you know, you pick that especially when you're dealing with students and student athletes, you're going to pick that route. The question is, how safe's it got to be before they can? How stamped out does this thing got to be? Because it sounds like Dr. Ray wants it almost all gone.
Right, right. I get
before
that.
He's comfortable.
I mean, I understand.
But that wait could be a while.
It could
so
be a
that,
while.
That's where I'm at. Is this idea? I was kind of sort of expecting going into this thing, you might see football. Like I said, by week five, they do their. They're going to look at the restart plan around Labor Day. But coming away from it,
Yeah.
Doesn't sound so much like that.
Yeah.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.